It means holy worship. Join me, your host, Robert Randall, as we delve into biblical instrumentation and music history to discover the sounds behind the words of our Savior, Yeshua, Messiah. Mishpachah HaYeshua Messiah, it is I, your host, Robert Randall, once again, coming to you today from a very cold, blizzardy Colorado Springs. And before we jump into our main topic, I'd like to ask for a prayer request for a Pastor Parsha, a man who converted from Islam to Christianity, and upon going into a shopping mall to grab a cup of coffee, he had a dialogue with some Muslims who inquired as to why he converted to Christ. A woman overheard the conversation and went to mall security, claiming that the pastor was solicitizing. And upon exiting the coffee shop, mall security arrested Pastor Parsha. So please be in prayer for him as he rejoices in tribulation amidst chains and behind bars. Father, we pray for your joy amidst tribulation. Father, we especially pray for Pastor Parsha, especially those enslaved to the spiritual slavery of Islam, as well as those who are in physical slavery around the world to Islam itself. Brutal physical slavery. Father, we dedicate this time to you now, and we ask that your Holy Spirit, that Ruach HaKodesh that dwells in all believers' flesh, that you would manifest yourself. We would hear your voice in the midst of this teaching, that you would speak and minister to our hearts and minds, that we would be echad in you and you in us, as we uncover the sounds behind our Master, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Jumping straight into our topics of the Nebel and the Nebel Azor, the Nebel is a harp of medium size, portable, which has been found on occasion with a resonance box or in the traditional harp shape with the exception of a missing third side for support. The instrument is made of firwood or almugwood. Dr. Steiner says of the woodwork, the bells are, like kinnors, were made of firwood and almug. Almug or algum, perhaps the red sandalwood of India, which Steiner cites from See Plants in the Bible by Sir Joseph Hooker, which is from Spottiswood's Sunday School Teacher's Bible. The difference between the Nebel and the Nebel Azor is that the Nebel has 8 strings, while the Nebel Azor, pronounced Adzor by some, the larger of the two, has 10 strings. While some see 8 as the number of the heavens, or the Father's number, in a more Christian sense within the Trinity, both the kinnor and the Nebel use the number 8 as an octave, which is traditionally in music, on the 8th, or a tetrachord, one note or more, in harmony or a triad. The kinnor is played on a single-stringed instrument, while the Nebel is believed to have been made in more a chordal manner. The Hebrew word nehema, primitive root of zimar, is roughly translates from the Strong's to strike a chord. Some nebels had 2 strings for 1 pitch, hence a tetrachord. Within its religious functions, the nebel would have been played before the Ark of the Covenant by Levites during processions and would have been a key instrument in use. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 details the procession of Levites and those who are musicians with string instruments. The same is recounted in chapter 25. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals, and the number of as number of the workmen according to their service was. 1 Chronicles 25:1. King David is mentioned as being an inventor of instruments. In the book of Amos, it is shown that Israel had some influence from other nations. Chapter 6 records this. the Sumerians chant to the sound of the Nebel and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. Amos 6, verse 5. Isaiah sings a song to the Lord, witnessing to men who use the sacredness of wine improperly with instruments. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the kinnor, and the nebel, and the toph, tabret, and the ugab, organ, and wine are in their feasts, and they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 5, verses 11 and 12. The last sentence of this passage would seem to suggest that God takes part in the playing of instruments through the musicians themselves and wants music to be respected without drunken influence. The Nebel has a fitting place as our second instrument, being found in the latter book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 5, where Samuel speaks to then Saul before he is made king, prophesying to him, "After that you shall come down to the hill of El, where there is a garrison of the Pelishtim, and it shall happen, when you are come there to the city, that you shall meet a band of Nevi'im coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tambourine and a pipe and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying." Various translations translate the English word psaltery differently. Certainly the books of Nehemiah and Psalms do this, with the exception of Psalm 71, verse 22, which says, "I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I sing praises to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel." Linguistically, the Greek Septuagint, the LXX, names the Nebel in various forms, while in Latin it is identified as the Nablium, the Nablum, or the Nabel. It also is considered in Jerome's Latin Vulgate. He terms it the Psalterium Decem Cordarum, or also he terms it the Decacordo Psalterio. Those are tongue twisters. The Authorized King James Bible, the English renditions come out as psaltery, psalm, lute, or viol. Dr. Steiner says of these, first of these is by far the most common in the Authorized Version, and it is no doubt the most correct translation if the word is understood in its true sense as a portable harp. The debate over its shape and classification ran in two streams. Was the Nebel a harp or a lyre? Certainly, the kinnor had enough controversy surrounding it, but the psaltery? Where does it belong? Its late inclusion in the biblical text would seem to suggest that it was an inspiration of Phoenician origin, as Israel had several periods of captivity by these iron-wielding Grecians. To say it was a psaltery or a harp presents the traditional large or small triangular shapes Westerners envision. Its association with the Egyptian toph, the tambourine, trumpet, shofar, are well known, yet some persist, stating that the Nebel could have been an African Cushite origin, the nanga having a form between a harp and a guitar. A distinction is that such an instrument, with longer strings across a box or resonance box, would have a deeper tonality among its strings, distinguished from the kinnor. Classifying instruments by name alone is shaky hermeneutical ground. One lazy method is used by the King James translators in Psalm 31, verse 2, Isaiah 5, verse 12, Amos 6, verse 5, which says, "Lie on beds of ivory, eat lambs out of the flock, drink wine in bowls, and chant to the sounds of the viol." Amos 5, 23 says, "Take thou away from me the noise of thy song, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols." All identified as Nebel in Hebrew. Similarly, Psalms 144 verse 9, the translators carelessly use the word lute. Dr. Steiner says, "But it is nearly always dangerous to argue from the derivation of names of instruments. For instance, what could the musical historian of 1,000 years hence gather of the construction of a harmonium, a seraphine accordion, or euphonium from the derivation of their respective names? or how much from the word pianoforte, the soft loud. Some have carried this misguided principle so far as to say that because Nebel prays from rounded vase or leather bottle, that it would therefore answer the description of a bagpipe. That is at least an ingenious theory, but fortunately, a well-defined title is given to the bagpipe. Yet, pottery has shown harps played much like guitars with resonance boxes, being played against the musician's shoulder, and with this in mind, the importance of how the instrument was played can present a valid classification. For the Egyptians, the invention of the kithara was their version of the lyre, not a guitar, despite its Italian name for the latter, as we shall see. Playability and shape are more adequate to concluding the origin of this instrument, to which Steiner concludes, with regard to the possible relation of the kinnor to these long-necked instruments, it may unhesitatingly be said that it was probably less long in the neck, but having a somewhat large resonance box. The portability of the kinnor, to which its length and existence was greatly due, would certainly militate against the idea of its being constructed with 3 or 4 feet of fragile neck. Assuming, then, that these interesting instruments were not identical with the kinnor, nor the nebel in the former case because of their fragile form, in the latter because they were unknown to nations who were familiar with the nebel, we are led to the conclusion that the nebel itself, the venerable harp, was the venerable harp of the Hebrews. It could not have been large because, as will be noticed hereafter, it so frequently is mentioned in the Bible as being carried in processions. The author stands with the hermeneutics of where the instrument first appeared in the book of Samuel. Whether it was originally invented by the Hebrews or incorporated by another influencing culture is of no consequence. What is important to understand, whether or not it was indeed of Greek or Hebraic roots, that it is within the string family, and after such kind has taken an evolution that cannot be traced to certain origins in shape or linguistic roots. For a good remainder of the program, we're going to listen to the BBC documentary The Harp, presented by a former harpist of the Prince of Wales, where we will get to hear one of the earliest Christian renditions of the harp, still used in Ethiopian religious procession today, called the Nanga.
In its simplest form, it probably developed from the huntsman's bow. Many pictures, carvings, and statues of early harps have survived from ancient Egypt, Assyria, and Mesopotamia. But nearly 80 years ago, there was a fascinating discovery.
In 1929, archaeologists from Pennsylvania, the British, and Baghdad Museum made a most remarkable find. 80 feet down, in a grave, what seemed to be a royal grave, in Ur, in present-day Iraq, they discovered a grave with 46 courtiers who had gone to their death, apparently committing suicide with their queen. Amongst the graves, there were 3 or 4 harps, lyres.
These harps were approximately 5,000 years old, older even than the pyramids and Stonehenge. Technically speaking, they were lyres, but harps and lyres belong to the same family of instruments, sharing a similar sound and playing technique. Andy Lowings has spent years recreating one of these beautiful instruments, sourcing the exact same raw materials, and making it possible for us to hear the sound of the original harp. In Ethiopia, they still play an instrument which is very similar to the one discovered in Iraq. Ethiopians believe that this was the instrument King David played to Saul in the Old Testament. I've come here to Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia, to meet the master of this ancient instrument, Alamu Aga.
Allah, 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 Allah,
This instrument is used exclusively for religious purposes, specifically in the services of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. It's never played for fun or for parties.
Well, this is a traditional musical instrument of Ethiopia called Bagana. It is an Ethiopian harp.
Yes. And when you play it, it has a sort of a buzzing on each string. What causes that?
It is caused by these leather pieces, which are called buzzers.
Right.
And so when you move them up and down, for example, maybe you can see when the string comes in touch with the bridge, it creates a buzzing sound. For example, now it is not buzzing.
Right.
When I move it down, it retraces on the.
Oh, now it buzzes, yeah, I see. Okay, so you can control the buzzing then?
Yes.
That's something you control. Can you show me how to play?
Okay, we'll use it with your left hand.
It has to come on this shoulder?
Yes, so it has to be like this.
Right.
So I have to touch your hand.
Yeah, it's fine.
So I'll make you show me the position of the fingers. This one, this here, this. And this one, here, this, down like that.
Yeah.
So this finger plucks this one and rests on this one. So
I see.
Yes, like that. All these four fingers, they pluck towards you, except the thumb against. Yes, like that. So you start from the lowest tone to the highest.
This
I'll
one?
Show you. No, with this one.
Okay. All right.
Then with this one, the middle finger. Then the thumb. Then. No.
The lyre was prevalent throughout Europe in the early centuries of the first millennium and was often used for the accompaniment of court poetry, such as the Gododdin, an early epic Welsh poem dating from the 6th century. The triangular harp, that is the harp with a front pillar as we would recognise it today, first appears in Europe in the 8th or 9th century, in the far north of Britain.
Now, the Picts were a tribe of people in the Highlands of Scotland and in the Lowlands, but they didn't leave any written language. Instead, they left some beautiful carved stones which present images of objects they knew, animals, birds, humans, and indeed harps appear there. The harps that they show are very simple ones. They tend to be triangular, having straight arms and straight pillars, and they're sometimes being shown played by people sitting in chairs or just freely floating in the scenery. It's interesting that there's about a dozen representations of harps on these stones, and they all are found on Christian stones.
No one knows what these early Pictish harps would have sounded like. None survived, and the carvings are not detailed enough to allow us to recreate them. However, this is the sound of the Bray harp. A harp that would have been common across Europe.
As always, Body and Messiah, I leave you with a final meditative tehillim for your prayer and supplication. Psalm chapter 6. Have mercy on me, O Yehovah, for I am weak. O Yehovah, heal me, for my bones are dismayed. My soul is also sorely dismayed. Return, O Yehovah, deliver my soul. Save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who shall give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning all the night. I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for Yehovah has heard the voice of my weeping. Yehovah has heard my supplication. Yehovah will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sorely dismayed. When trouble comes into your life and enemies surround you, when it seems that there is no way of escape from torment, God always arises to deliver you. And when you call upon His name, believing within your heart that Yahovah hears your prayers, Elohim will bring you shalom, peace, in the midst of every storm. Have faith in El and wait for His deliverance. Remember in your daily worship and meditation to make a joyful noise unto Yeshua and to praise Him with all your heart and love Him. And now, if you'd like to contact me and leave some comments or ask some questions about the show, here's some contact information. If you enjoyed today's show and you would like to leave some comments or questions, you can write to me at robertrandallmusic@gmail.com. That's Robert Randall, RANDALL, music@gmail.com. Also, upon request, you can get a transcript of the show. Follow me on my official website, robertrandallmusic.com, where you can read about my biography, find my blog on various upcoming things. I've got two albums in the works, one an easy listening album based on Galatians 5 and the fruits of the Spirit, as well as a jazz album that Hebraically reflects many of the concepts and teachings that we understand within the Hebraic Roots community. So be on the lookout for those. Also, you can take a look at some of the DVD teachings that I have scored for Dr. William Schneblin and his ministry, withoneaccord.org. With One Accord Ministries, a biblical counseling, discipleship, biblical health, naturopathic vitalist ministry, as well as a biblical apologist ministry, ministering to lost souls for the kingdom of Messiah, reaching bound souls in the cults into the loving arms of our Savior. Dr. Schneblin is an author as well. His best-selling book, Blood on the Doorpost, now available in Spanish, changed my walk as a new believer in Messiah. Please check it out. Also, if you are local to the Colorado Springs area and you would like some music lessons, some private piano lessons, music theory or composition lessons, be they in person or on the Soundtrap website that I'm going to be talking about in a moment, you can contact me via the email address that I have left, or you can find me on thumbtack.com as well as utivity.com, utivity.com. Furthermore, you can find me on soundtrap.com, a wonderful novice for those wanting to get into music within the 21st century, a digital online platform connecting you to musicians all over the world, a great opportunity also for educators, whether you are a private educator or in the public sector. Please check it out. Also, you can find me on the sister video capture of Twitter called Periscope, P-A-R-A-S-C-O-P-E, Robert Randall Music. Sometimes I do some behind the scenes in the studio, as well as some fun compositional things with drums or just late night composition on the piano, if the Father's downloading music into my mind. So you can check it out there as well. Shavua Tov, Mishpacha.